Yes, a very good morning. Wherever you're finding yourself in this beautiful, beautiful country of ours, from the south to the east to the north, welcome to Eagle FM. It's the early morning scoop, the first session of the week, where we get to end of the week, man. We end in different vibe, different energy. Everyone have a different plan. Everyone have a different direction. But the common goal is all about wealth building. It's all about getting somewhere. It's all about taking some steps. For those who are in manufacturing, they're trying to expand. For those that are in farming, they are hoping that their plan, their animal multiply. For those that are in logistics, I'm sure they are making sure that things get to whatever part in the country or in a continent. They are hoping their tractors or their truck drivers get there on time. And for those that are in charge of policymaking, I hope they are thinking. They are the only people we mostly question if they are really thinking, if they are really debating. But everybody else in different sectors, I think their work, their effort are quite visible. And as we enter the new week, man, as we try to build, as we try to change, as we try to refocus, and as we try to move in a different direction, yes, we put humanity at the center, we put human at the center. There is no economy without people. Everything that we are doing, we are trying to improve the well-being of the Namibian people, of the African child. So, welcome to our early morning scoop. I hope your weekend was bad. I hope your weekend was good. I hope your weekend was well. Because all circumstances have to be factored in.
Yeah.
Because there are those who are going to say they had a bad weekend. So, it's part of the portfolio. And whether it was bad, whether it was good, you are very fortunate. We are very lucky. We are, if we can quote the Christian, we can say we are very, very blessed to be here this morning. And for those who are able, for those that are functioning very well, the economy weight, the worker weight, whatever your contribution is, whether you're a security guard, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a truck driver, or you look after cattle, whatever your role is, the economy await. And we have to build, we have to fix, we have to improve, we have to innovate. So colleagues, good morning. My name is Kanjengo Kamiyogulu Nkwanyoga. And as always, I am with Mr. David Shompe. We usually take the driving seat.
Yeah.
This is now the first 1 hour segment of the early morning scoop. And we will now jump in on why are we here this early morning? While you are driving to work, while you are getting a cab to work, why should we have this conversation? Why is it important for us to talk? And for the first time in our history, not really for the first time, I think something like this happened. A two-day event happened last week. We are calling it a national or a Namibia public-private forum. So we will take a look. We will go through why that event, why did it happen? The president dedicated 2 days. Now, the key question is that, was she listening? And if she was listening, how about her team? Were they taking notes? What is the way forward? Will they manage in the right time, in the right space, to make changes, to fix what has been highlighted? Will it stimulate economic activities? Will it enable capital to flow? Those are the key questions. Now we're going to take a look at why should we keep engaging between the public and the private sector? And after engaging, where do we go now? What do we do? How do we hold these people accountable, ourselves accountable? How are we going to trigger this type of changes? We made some commitment and national aspirations of where we want to go, the direction we want to go. And it started with such a good conversation where the private sector turned up. I've seen more than 400 people in the room who came to have an engagement from the private sector to meet the public sector. But now the key question is, the private sector appreciated and made time and they turned up. Now the key question is, this highlight that the key question is that yes, the private sector is willing to change, to do things better, to align, and to meet the government halfway. The key question now is, what is the eagerness of the public sector? What is the eagerness of the public sector to meet the private sector halfway? Because in that room, we have seen people who came from the south, we have seen people who came from the coast, we have seen people who came from the north, we have seen people who came from the east. And they all came to be in one room to show the public sector that we are willing to grow this economy differently. We are able to, or we are willing to move in a different direction. Inclusiveness, innovating, paying better wages, adding value and processing. We are able to do all these. And this is now the summary of what we need to be done. But the key question again remains, is the public sector. Because I, from my understanding and from my observation, the private sector is willing, but there is no sense of eagerness when it comes to the public sector, when it comes to the technocrats. I really, really think that the technocrats do not understand what needs to be done. I will say this again. There is a number of technocrats who do not understand what needs to be done. When we are saying that we want to create this type of employment, when we are saying that we want to innovate, when we are saying that we want to add value, when we want to say that we want to create wealth for ourselves, I am starting to believe that there are certain policymakers and there are certain technocrats who do not have a slight understanding of what needs to be done. Because that room, Mekki Hotel, was full. More than 400 people turned up. And there are those who genuinely turned up to communicate to those that are in charge, to communicate to those that have power to change certain things. But does the public sector knows? Does the public sector understand why those individuals turned up? Because that is actually a sense of believing. Those people have trust that we can do it. So colleagues, good morning. That is what we are going to look at today. That is the brief summary of the public and private forum that happened last week. 2 days where the president sat in. And I appreciated that actually.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm telling people to say, getting 2 days from a president, that is a very expensive time. Mm-hmm. And it never, even 2 hours never happened. Mm-hmm. But at the center of that discussion was, how can we create 500,000 jobs? Mm-hmm. And I also believe that public sector and private sector understood that they cannot work.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yes.
Yeah, at the center of that argument was creation of 500,000 jobs. And the president asked questions to say, how many did we create? Mm. That was the main question for me. And I also wanted to look at what are the numbers saying. When she asked about how many we created, she spoke about, the National Youth Fund, which is it promised to create around 100 and something jobs. Now, when you look at, for example, the presentation of Salomo Hay, who indicated that, you know, if you cannot measure it, you did not do it. Mm. Now, how do you track progress? Mm. It's just that the number, in terms of writing, or you have tangible tracking progress mechanism, which is there. That was my own look to say, how do you do what you say you are going to do? Mm. And do we really have a very clear plan? Because when I look at the discussion is good. Mm. Public sector, private sector indicated especially the issues of overregulation, the cost of doing businesses, the treatment they get, especially the domestic businesses, and also the issue of FDI. But my question has always been to say, do we have a clear plan from there? Or it's just going to be business as usual? Because it's good to have a discussion. It's good also to understand that, guys, we cannot work without each other. But what is the way forward? Where are we moving from here? Mm. Yeah.
Look, that is a good observation that, yes, you cannot improve something that you cannot measure.
Yeah.
But on your last question,
yeah,
like I said in my introduction,
yeah,
there were probably around 300 people from the private sector.
Yeah.
And these are not your middle managers.
These are the big guys.
These are the CEOs. Yeah. These are the managers. These are the directors of various sectors that they came through.
Yeah.
I have seen many of that. Look, because we have different people in our economy.
Yeah.
There are those who came to take pictures of leaders because there is now a ticket or so to get somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
There were those people from the public sectors who just came to be seen.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee you there were more than 300 people from the private sector that were eager.
Yeah, yeah.
I can tell you that during the preparation of that, people were called to come through and they came from Walvis Bay to come in and prepare for that private public forum.
Yeah.
Meaning the people are willing, the private sector are willing to deliver to do certain things differently because the opportunities are many that are emerging. Mm. And this is the difference. Always, this is the difference. Always, I do not understand why the public sector does not emulate the same energy, does not emulate the same energy from the private sector. I have met both of them, private and public.
Yeah.
I have sat in committees and the dialogue, but there is just a difference. Because somebody came from Walvis Bay, somebody came from Swakopmund, from the private sector, just to be in that room to say, this is what we need. That is the commitment that people are showing. But what is wrong with our public colleagues, the technocrats?
It's a very good question. Is it the system? Are they too relaxed? Are they not pressured? Or what is it?
Yeah, because now you have a picture in the middle of these people. The first presentation by Margaret gave us a picture. And that's actually a picture that we know.
Yeah.
Even if you look in the village today, it's saying that only 37.4% of our electricity was generated here locally.
Yeah.
And that is actually for the same month, July and August. Yeah. And I think it's the same thing for September. Now you have that picture between these two people.
Yeah.
And it's one of the key also which was highlighted by the NCCI CEO to say that whatever we talk about here, we can't achieve it if we do not have energy security. Now you have this picture in the table that we need energy security. And the private sector are willing to say, can you modify this rule? Can you modify that rule? Why is it so difficult for the people, for the technocrats and those involved from the national planning and from the ministry to say, if these colleagues are willing and this is the problem, why are we not moving?
You know, my observation is that when you look at Namibia public sector, you compare it with South Africa and also Zimbabwe, Botswana is a different case. You realize to say the public sector have failed to evolve with time. Over the past 35 years, a lot of things have changed. But in terms of regulation, they are always behind. That's why you find somebody at the office who is doing exactly the same job as other five people, but they also do not know what is expected from them. And you also realize to say, why do you think it's very difficult for you to get a direct service from public sector to even take you 4 weeks or even 2 months to get just one document from them? Why do you think it's like that? It's because the system has failed to evolve.
But we keep blaming the system. I'm starting to disagree when people say system. Yeah. No.
But the system is people. You know, it's not only what is said today. It's also people. Yeah.
You have NAMPOWER here.
Yeah.
You have ECB. And I think there's an event I'm going probably to attend either tomorrow when about NAMPOWER again want to be the power in the greater something.
Yeah.
Which I'm also going to disagree.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree. I want to attend this event because we cannot give NAMPOWER any more power.
There's other
power. No. I, for my point of view, I just feel like they have too much and I think it's a lot for them. So I'm repeating this again. We have to ask this question to say, we have been screaming deliberately that every month we can only generate around 40% of our energy need.
Mm.
So everything that they have said in that room, because the private sector did a beautiful presentation and told that this is what you need to do. We can fix all the rules.
Yeah.
We can deregulate or regulate smart as that Khawakab keeps saying.
Smart regulation.
But, but everything comes down to the energy cost in your country.
Yeah.
And we know this. Minister of Mines know this. NAMPOWER know this. National Planning knows this. And the private sector is saying that, okay, cool. Do this certain thing within the modified single buyer market so that we can generate more. Then why is that not being done? Okay, cool. We have gone in some agreement with Angola to build or to develop our the other hydro. Okay, well, how far are we?
It's a very good question.
You know, we need to look, and this is the problem. We decide, then we forget. But we were there in that room, everybody is wearing a suit, people are, you know, on my left, I didn't go there for the second day, I was watching online, because I get mad. I get mad, because,
I see you.
I get mad, like, I don't think people understand the level of what need to be done. Because I look at the public guys there, I look at the guys from the regulator, I just excited, shaking hands. I'm like, guys, you just had one of the presentation that show how worse off you are in many things.
Yeah.
It's just not about business registration. We are just not moving, my guy. We are not moving. We are not moving in basic things.
No, you know, if you are not able, for example, to do the basic needs, not only in terms of administration, even if you are not able to produce your own food and track progress. I was asking the other time to say, when Mem Shafuda gave a midterm public budget review, I asked to say, maybe you should also assist me in this regard. Something new happened. I did not say that to say I'm going to present some of the progress within the project. Then I asked myself, why only three green schemes that were presented there? What about others? And I also asked to say, even if other produce two potatoes, we want to see where they are, because that is our commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the weakness that we have.
Yeah.
Now look, everybody just talking about the youth fund.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that's all we did? Because we didn't even do anything yet about the youth fund.
No, nothing yet. Nothing yet.
Nothing yet. We are still conceptualizing it. Do you know that?
Yeah.
We are still conceptualizing and putting everything in order. But now it's being used as the poster child. Ah, the youth fund. Colleagues, we didn't do anything yet.
It's not even operational. That is it's pirate phase. Yeah, it's pirate phase.
Colleagues, we just need to chill, because and this is the issue that why I even left the PP just to go listen online.
Yeah.
Because everybody just say, no, then the government came up with the youth fund. Like, guys,
is that only the thing that we
there
can
is
discuss
more
about?
We are talking about you. We are talking about the Public Procurement Act.
Yeah.
We are talking about the environmental issues. We are talking about water. We are talking about certain things we need across all these sectors. We have certain industry not paying taxes. We have money being lost through illicit financials. We need a broader picture of where we are and where we want to go. And that's why Salomo said, colleagues, you can't do anything when you cannot quantify what have you achieved. Where are you at?
And made I like the presentation that he made. He made a very bold presentation.
It's just not bold, it's reality, my guy. And this is the thing, like, this is what I want.
I
am suggesting that people within the regulatory authorities, from CRAN to Bank of Namibia, but I think at the Bank of Namibia, to a certain extent, they are trying, but we need to be in a room where we are able to make the Salom Hay type of presentation. We have to be realistic with ourselves in the progress that we are making. Because when you have seen it, those men and women coming into a room and saying, this is the problem. And this is the conundrum is going to increase, because now here you are being gray listed. And here you have certain things now, your domestic asset and your domestic people asking you that we want you to do this and this.
But you know what make me scared? You know, South Africa now is good. Other countries are progressing in a lot of sectors. Look at the Zim. Now we are left at the grey list by South Africa.
You know, the grey list is not a problem, guys.
No, we are in a lot of things now. I'm just not happy.
No. About everything that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Do you know that I don't care about the grey listing?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this honest.
Yeah.
Because look, we are so concerned about so many things that barely add value to a lay Namibian.
But what does it say to you?
Hmm?
What does it say to you?
At this point, look, and I'm going to say this with conviction.
Yeah.
I am economically enlightened to this point to say I really, really don't care about any international adherence. Because we are so focused so much on making ourselves look good out there. But the person in Havana, nobody cares. Do you know that they are putting pavement in a road? Now I cannot get off the road to go support the business. That is what they are doing, but nobody's talking about it.
No, I was asking myself, why is that?
Yeah, what type of thinking is that? So I'm now saying this at the highest level. I'm very comfortable with my level of economic understanding.
Yeah.
I really don't care about so much about the gray listing. Because if we can focus so much on those things, and actually I looked at the gray listing. I'm going to write something on it.
Yeah.
We are being gray listed because of something, and they're not going to achieve it anyway.
Ne?
No, they're not going to achieve it. No, they're not going to achieve it. They are being gray listed because they cannot prosecute people on time that did money laundering.
Yeah, they cannot find
you lock up people for 10 years until now you can't prosecute them. So you see, but I, my issue with it is that, my issue with this is that we focus so much on making ourselves look good to the international people. But we can't talk about the pavement that we are building in Havana. We can't talk about the dust which is happening there when we are building and they cannot even put water while they are doing their things. You know, we don't care so much about the farmers that are producing a lot, but they have nowhere to store their things. So I'm trying to move away from window conversation.
Yeah.
That is what the problem is. We are keeping the conversation about Windhoek all the time. Because economics in Windhoek is high level. It's international things.
Yeah, it's international.
But dude, you have farmers
producing
adequately out there, but they're not being supported.
I hear you.
So if the economics that we are talking about does not come down to the lay person, I don't want to participate anymore. Like, I don't want to have such a high-level conversation. Oh, my goodness, the GDP 5.9. No. I don't want to have... And that is where we are stuck. And that's why when we are, the public and the private are meeting, they barely meet to have good to crazy conversation about a layman.
I also have a question to say. Was a layman represented in that conversation, in that room?
In the public-private forum.
Yeah.
That is now what matters. What statistic are we presenting? I looked at Margaret's presentation. If you look at the first one.
Yeah.
It's comparing Namibia to Mauritius. We are here. We are here. And then it's all about Windhoek. It's all about Windhoek.
Yeah.
And this is,
it's actually a very good thing that, a good point that you are making. And it's also giving a different picture to say, when we speak about Namibians, which are affected by this economy, which Namibians are we talking about?
Which Namibians are affected by these high level issues that we are discussing?
No, I hear you.
We are telling the president, we are telling this and this, who is affected?
Yeah.
Is it the people that are investing in the mines?
Yeah.
Is it the people that are having property in Walvis is buy the most expensive one? So, look, and this is where, if you look in that room, it will just suit.
Yeah.
It will suit people who are getting probably the salary of 70,000 minimum to 50 going up.
No, 100 if you are, if you are broke, 100.
So, and this is where now that, if we are going to grow our economy as we intend.
Yeah.
Colleagues, the first presentation is not about you comparing Namibia to Mauritius. I'm sorry to say this, and I want to say this loud and clear.
Yeah.
I want you to talk about Betani. I want you to talk about Tess. I want you to talk about Tentavis. I want you to be inside Namibia. We cannot start a conversation by comparing at the highest level. No, interrogate.
Yeah.
I want you to tell us that, yes, this is how far we are moving in terms of creating that feedlot in Kunene.
Yeah.
Because if we don't start with within Kunene what is happening, doing the comparison of the economic performance within the constituency, we are going to miss the point.
I hear you.
And this is where it has always been about my problem to say, we cannot keep just making ourselves look good to the international community. Yes, and I love the fact that we are having more than 300 business leaders in the room.
Yeah.
They have delivered whatever they have delivered to the president. And we have now tasked him according to Tate Mbwende and the president after. And I love listening to the president. I love reading a speech sometimes now.
No. The president is very clear. And I just want to catch you there. To say the president is very clear and she knows exactly what she wants. But the problem also, or maybe the question is that, do the people understand what the president
wants? It always come there.
Yeah, do they understand what the president
wants? What does he
have? You know what she said when she came there? She said, I want you guys to have an open conversation. Because people, you know, when they say that, there's always this, you have to tread carefully. To say, no, don't make me happy. I want us to have a good conversation. Even if you offend me, to say, you government, you are not doing well here and here. As long as we solve Namibian problems. But after a few times, what I've seen, it's a bit the opposite of what the president wants.
But does the president ever go say these things to her team? Like, I sometimes wonder because
you see, recent decision, you're asking yourself, what really happening around?
It's only that I can't meet her.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come to that point because when we are going to look at the outcome and what is going to be done.
Yeah.
I have listened to Tate Poamba, I've listened to Tate Kuluhaga, I've listened to Mekulu now.
Mm-hmm.
My problem, one thing they have in common, I wanted my leaders to stop coming publicly and speaking like leaders. Mm-hmm. And when they go back to the room, what do they tell the technocrats? That is the key question. I don't want you to come and tell the technocrats at the bigger room, No. You have access to the technocrats. You have access to the ministers. They report to you. I want your statement to be bold like that publicly and also internally when you're talking to them. Because now we have, I think, and this is my theory.
Yeah.
My leaders come publicly, that the Pomba will come, and then guess what? The technocrats remain who they are and where they are.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting fired. Nobody's getting moved. No, we are recycling EDs and things like that. But when they come out publicly, they speak a different language. Because it hurts. Because I know where people came from to come in that make your room. I know the effort that went in to convince these business leaders to come.
Yeah.
As much as I disagree at a certain level that the layman was not represented, I appreciated the business leaders to come and to show the government that for us, we are willing. But now I am now a bit reluctant to say, Memendaito, you are able to say this loudly here. Are you going to tell the same technocrat in the same tone? In the same language? Are you going to speak the same way with such a level of conviction so that whatever we have decided they can get implemented? Are you going to smoothen the path for us to go to the Minister of Mines? Also, it's not the Minister of Mines also. Amazing.
No, it's the Minister of Electing Capacity.
Yeah, so if she can't do that, because now we have a pile of work.
Yeah.
And the private sector is ready to say, we want to invest.
I'm also asking myself to say, man, are we not having a lot on a plate? Can't we take key priorities? When I look at those discussions, I realize to say we have a lot of problems, but we cannot handle all those problems within 5 years, but there are things that we can do well. She mentioned the one-stop shop, especially in terms of business registration. Maybe we can also discuss that because we are from that angle.
But, And this are issue, and this one is actually can be changed by Namibian.
Okay, okay.
Because BIPA right now is reviewing the act.
Yeah.
And the act is what give how we move forward.
Okay.
So on that one, I can say, Madam President, that one is after the Namibian. Mm-hmm. It's not about her because he already allowed for the bill for the corporate act to be reviewed.
Yeah.
And decision were everything that guide those two.
Mm-hmm.
So, for that, I can already appreciate her for allowing that.
Okay.
But if we now have a problem with the length of business registration, go attend the consultations and go change them. Because here, there is always two parts I keep saying.
Yeah.
One thing that I appreciate is that we are reviewing laws.
Yeah.
There are certain laws that we are reviewing, just that we are not reviewing them faster. I'll send you the bill. I have it.
Okay.
The draft bill.
Okay.
So at the president level, there is at a high level what he can do that, okay, now I have spoken to the BIPA people, to the Minister of Finance, or Minister of Trade, which is the custodian of this act, is now being reviewed.
Yeah.
But changing the law is not our responsibility anymore of what is going to be in the law.
Yeah.
Because it's not an expert in that. You now, as the person who say there is lengthy in registering business.
Go and attend.
Now go and attend and go tell them that reduce it to this, do this and this and this.
Yeah.
So this is also accountability to ourselves. Because we want change. David, we want change. I've been around this country now.
Everybody want change, yeah.
Everybody want. I was looking at the public procurement. I was in Oshkuko. Yeah. I mean, I was in Utapi.
Yeah.
For the Public Procurement Act.
Yeah.
Amendment.
Yeah.
I don't know where the peoples are. I can tell you that
I think it's also, I'm also sharing the same sentiment to say sometimes it's about also communication to say what is the meaning of public consultation? Even those who are in charge, even at a local level to say we have a certain types of consultation, a certain law is being passed, but you just find something is already there at the top level, but people have been consulting. You know, all these laws which are passed, people were consulting, but who were consulted? That is a question.
Yeah.
And we are always complaining about the laws.
But I'm a bit puzzled. I have a lot of suggestions when it comes to certain things. But when it comes to consultation, I do not know. Mm. But again, it hurts me because now I'm starting to distinguish two things.
Mm.
Whenever there is a politician around and you tell people to come, the people will come. But if there's no politician in that consultation, they will not come. Because I think it's the understanding that, is the understanding, colleagues, the most important people in the public sector, the technocrats.
Yeah.
Because if we are going to change the mindset of people,
yeah.
we need to change the mindset of the technocrats.
Those guys are the ones who are doing the work.
Because even the president mentioned that it's the efficiency within the public sector, how we move, the bureaucratic process of achieving certain things is where the problem is. And I'm afraid again, because if we don't change the mindset of the public sector, the public servant, we now have a pile of the request from the private sector. Who is going to implement them if these same people have the same mindset?
Well, the fight will just continue.
The fight will continue. And this is why I'm saying that I wanted the president, when you speak publicly, I also want you to go speak in the same way in the corridor of your public servant.
And you know what I like about private sector, these guys are very clear and they know what they want. And when they give their presentation, they do not have time. And you can tell that they are willing to come on board. And I was also very happy. I like the presentation of Mr. Nampala.
Mm.
Very diplomatic but bold. To say, no, we cannot move anywhere without energy. To say, no, Your Excellency, that is, we are asking for simple things, but we cannot move anywhere without energy.
We can't. And that's now I'm saying that either there are certain people who do not understand what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Because that list is the same even last year. That list is the same as even the other year.
Yeah.
And I went to AMTA, I think, last weekend.
Yeah.
And I got to realize, like, we are fighting for access to market.
Mm.
We want to put our things in this big retailer.
Mm.
I'm like, no, we don't need to. We don't need to, because when I went into AMTA, we can actually source things from our producers.
Yeah.
Things from our manufacturers, because there are spices there are cooking oil. There, almost everything is there.
Okay.
So now, why are we fighting for a product to go in there when they do not want? If we have invested into AMTA, who is almost everywhere.
Yeah.
And again, one of the most beautiful thing that when you go to AMTA is that you meet vendors, informal traders, buying in bulk.
Yeah.
And if we can actually make AMTA to be closer everywhere, buying everywhere in bulk, and they can, then the vendors can distribute. This product will reach. We do not need any more to fight. So I'm looking at things that we are fighting, just certain things that we don't need to fight. Because you are saying, no, my product need to get in that big shop. They do not want. And it's okay. So what do we do? Instead of now, you know, we were chasing the vendor to go outside of the city center here.
They are still there.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that, David, I want you to know this.
Yeah.
The vendors are actually selling the tomato that are grown in Namibia.
So sad.
They are selling the onion that are actually produced in Namibia. So we are chasing them. We are not chasing them. We are chasing Namibian product. You are not chasing the people.
You are making a very straight point. You are chasing Namibian product from the market.
Chasing Namibian product away from the market. That is what I've realized. That actually the vendor can distribute anything that we sell.
No, that is a deep observation to say you are chasing Namibian product from the market.
Because even my marula oil, I buy them from them. Now when you chase them further, they go with the marula oil. They go with the tomatoes. They go with the onions. And those onions are from where? They are from Etunda. They are from Shadikongoro. So everything that the private sector, and that's what I'm saying, that it's only that the language at the forum was high level.
Yeah.
The private sector demand is just not about the MDs and the mine.
Yeah.
It's also the demand of the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And if at the local authority level, municipalities are unable to handle the vendors, what are we demanding then? And that's what I'm saying, that I want us to have two things.
Yeah.
When we're talking about doing things better for everybody, it's just not for the big companies.
Yeah.
The private sector also includes the informal sectors.
Oh, they are private.
They are private.
Yeah.
And if in our solution and submission to the president does not include the vendors and the informal traders,
then you are already defeated.
Then you are already defeated. Because the suits there, they represented the banks, they represent the mines, they represent the big manufacturers and others.
Mm.
But even the manufacturers, if you look at the people who are manufacturing clothes here, Yeah. Where are they being sold? They are being sold by the informal sector.
Yeah.
The biggest distributors of Namibian product
informal sector.
Is the informal sector. So in our private sector solutions,
yeah.
we have to find the solutions within the local authority. Because until they can recognize and find a way to treat the informal sector, to formalize it in a different approach that can enable them, we are not going to be rich. And I'm talking about wealth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if a manufacturer is making these shoes
yeah.
and is unable to sell them, he's not going to be richer like those guys.
That is true.
Because he has no access to the market. And it's not an access to market. I want to redefine it. Mm-hmm. It's not access to ShopRite. No. It's not access to ShopRite shelf. No.
Yeah. What do you think about the presentation from the governor, BON, especially when it's coming to the informal sector? He made something. I did not expect that from the governor. Of the
you know, surprisingly, no, yeah. no, surprisingly, Tate Rahab,
yeah.
he always speak about the informal sector.
Mm.
It's something I have picked up. Like, no,
I really did not expect that, but it was, to me, it was...
Yeah, when I he's one of the people that I respect when you talk about inclusivity, in financial inclusion.
Yeah.
He speaks it differently compared to the others.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
For him, I think his understanding of financial inclusion for me is better than others.
Okay, okay.
Because
okay.
most of my colleagues, they just have access to a bank account and things like that.
Yeah.
And they talk about digital tools and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think Tate Rahab always speak about financial inclusion in a way that I really, really also appreciate and I like it. So... Look, and this tone is changing.
It's changing. That's why he spoke about the informal formalizing the
yep.
informal sector, especially when it's coming to housing or
yeah.
availing land so that individual can be able to build their,
yeah.
you know.
But, and that's where now is the Minister of Land and others listening?
Mm.
That is the key question because most of those presentations have solutions, have suggestions,
mm.
have a direction. But I'm also going to look at it. How are we going to distribute to the private sector suggestion that we came up with the PPF? Are we going to give them to every ministry? Are we going them to, are we going to make sure that they sit next to the manifesto? Or how are these suggestions going to be implemented? Because if they do not look like a manifesto, because it seems like in Namibia now only the manifesto is very, very important. Not even the NDP 6, no.
yeah.
Yeah, this has been said in our party manifesto. So the key question now after the break,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
So, when you bring 400 men and women into a room to come up with suggestions and solutions,
yeah.
it should be very important that you have to find a way for whatever they said to get to the right people.
Yeah.
And again, now, getting to the right people is just not reading, oh my God, they say this and this. No. It's about also that for every suggestion that you did,
yeah.
let it be on the table to say, this is what needs to be changed.
Mm.
That the Rahab talk about land.
Yeah.
If whether your suggestion are the best or they are the right one or they are the one we're going to follow, whatever we're going to pick,
yeah.
are we going to submit it to the Sangwasa? Those are the key questions now. When we talk about business registration,
yeah.
I saw the acting CEO of BIPA. I don't know if she taken note, is going to take it back to our team.
Mm.
But the key question is this, for every suggestion across every sector,
yeah.
are we going to send it as an official document to them from the office of the president because the president endorsed this?
Yeah.
Are we going to send every suggestion? Because in the speech of Tate Mwende,
yeah.
he said now this thing is going to be endorsed by cabinet.
Yeah, yeah.
The suggestion, they are going to be endorsed by cabinet.
Yeah.
Now, when we say that, it sounds so beautiful because it's such a formality. Oh my goodness, the highest level body yeah. is going to endorse what we say.
Yeah.
But what matter is this?
Mm.
I asked certain people at the TVET on Friday that how many of you read NDP6?
Mm.
And the room was quiet. So now if people do not even know about NDP6 that is included.
How will they know about this one?
Are they going to pay attention to the suggestion of the private sector? Because that when they say it, after they have endorsed it,
yeah.
we're also now going to make sure now policy alignment
yeah, yeah, yeah.
with these suggestions. And that is now the key thing.
When you're going to talk about the policy alignment, are you going to make these people read the document?
And I think, you know, I also, one thing that we need to understand is that the solutions to Namibian problems were in that room.
Yeah.
And they are already made in that room. The question is that they are already made. The question is that did we get the message? How are we going to frame it?
Yeah.
Because every person that matters, I don't want to say those who are not there, they don't matter. But majority of Namibian key players in all sectors were in the same room.
Apart from the informal sector.
Yeah, probably.
Even though I saw,
but you were there.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
But you're asking to say that was the solution to Namibian problems. The question is that did we understand what we were saying, or did we get the message, or what is the way forward? Because what is very important is implementation only.
Yeah.
Because we understood that even the president understood to say, I cannot achieve my plan without the private sector. Private sector also understand that we cannot keep on fighting each other.
Yep.
Let us work on the regulations. Let us work on finance. Let us work on many other issues and all those things. But the question is that is a solution to Namibian problem well structured to that extent that is going to is going to deal with all those problems?
That is going to be read. Because my concern is that if people are not reading NDP 6, which is a national aspiration. You know, NDP 6 is what we carry around.
Yeah.
In energy and agriculture. When you talk about agriculture, we are being backed from the national aspiration that we are putting agriculture at the center.
Yeah.
Now, you put agriculture at the center, but the environment is not clean enough. It's not clear for us to do what we need to do in agriculture. So not the private sector come to say, if you want for us to achieve what you said about agriculture.
Yeah.
This is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Because now we are going to have a misalignment. You have a political statement being made. Agriculture, like what is said in NDPC. But nobody's reading that what do you need to do to unlock the agriculture sector, to enable capital to flow in there. What do you need to do? Nobody's reading those. And that's not what I'm saying, that if this suggestion get to be endorsed now by cabinet, we now need a prayer session. And we need to touch people's head, especially the technocrats. We need to touch their head, like, let this suggestion get into your head. Let it manifest, you know.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
if this suggestion from the private sector do not manifest, do not get it to be consumed, then we are just going to talk about agriculture. We are just going to talk about energy. Because nothing is going to work until the environment is clear, until the environment is conducive to enable.
The question is what have we done? If you ask the question to say, what have we done and what tracking progress mechanism do we have? That is that one we can be able to see. Because if I'm saying I'm going somewhere, at what pace am I moving and what did I achieve? Are we moving at 120? Are we at 10 kilometers per hour or are we not moving at all? Because that is the question. Because if we don't have a measurement, it will not work.
Yeah.
The plan is there. We always have a plan. Whether it's a good plan or a bad plan, but the question is that are we achieving even 20% of that plan that we have?
And that's why it brings me to something that, I respect Namibia Statistic Agents, but I just feel like, they are moving a bit slower. Even if you listen to NCCI speech, the recommendation I made for them to be well capitalized, because if NSA cannot measure things, it means we will not know. But that report that you read that day of the financial thing, of the payroll deduction. We need this type of assessment that are faster and they are very informative.
Yeah.
Because now we wait for the census. Do you know? Did you read the census report?
Yeah, I did some. I did.
You see, nobody finished it.
Yeah, you can't because it's
It's so bulky. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Now, nobody knows what we did because nobody wanna read a 200-page document. But if you listen to the summary that was done on that, the payroll deduction, and how timely it was.
And the impact of it.
That is what we need to do. And now, as you say that, if we can't measure it into such type of, how do we call them, real time, something like, you know, this data which get to be produced so fast.
Yeah.
That is the only way we know. We cannot wait. For another year until we know about labor force.
Do you know that deduction could have been a disaster?
It could have been a disaster.
Yeah, but that...
and again, it's because we do not want to measure on time.
Yeah.
We are not capitalizing the institution that's supposed to measure on time. And that is our downfall. But I'm gonna come back to the PPF to say good suggestion were made.
Yeah.
Government and when we talk about government, I'm only talking about the highest leaders now because those two they have agreed.
Yeah.
National planning has agreed, and they even volunteer to say we are going to assess and to monitor.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also now I'm going to question national planning. Do you have the ability to measure?
Mm.
Do you have the ability to assess?
Your capacity to.
Yeah, because there were even some conversation we're having that the DG of national planning is supposed to be actually bigger than the ministers. So that he can ask whatever, because the national planning is the planner.
Yeah.
They are the one who plan. They are the right of NDP 6.
They are the think tank of government.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they need to make sure the national aspiration are achieved. Yep. But if the DG is at the level of a minister, how will he command him or her to give the statistic and to measure?
Are they even going to listen?
They are even going. You see, those are the weakness now. Mm. Because the office of the prime minister, for me, the office of the prime minister is not so economically oriented.
Mm.
I look at it like just some socials. They are very, very social.
Social welfare.
No, yeah. It's just mental wealth. I mean, stuff, you know. Yeah, but I just don't see them measuring. Because since ever, they have been more political. They don't give information. Even their auditors, their auditor reports are, some of that don't come on time. I don't respect institutions like that.
Yeah.
Maybe now with that, what is the gentleman's name?
Elijah.
Yeah.
Elijah.
Elijah.
Yeah.
But I don't know when he's going to measure because he's everywhere. He's now opening, what? Soccer tournaments, everything. I don't know what time he's going to assess, but yeah. But I think if what national planning is suggesting that they are going to do the assessment, they are going to follow up, it's okay.
Mm.
But those suggestions from the private sector, if we can actually put them next to the NDP 6 all the time.
Yeah.
Because all they did is to say whatever is included in the NDP 6, even if it's nuclear energy, it can be achieved.
Yeah.
All you need is just to do this. Because yes, the NDP 6 has plans, it's a strategy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But again, the strategy is not fixing the environment.
Mm-hmm.
The strategy just says this is the direction that we are going to move faster, create 200, But they forgot to say in Namibia, you are unable to move that faster. Why?
Mm.
Because there are these type of problems.
Mm.
Now, the PP forum did is that this is how you can solve the problem.
Mm.
And that can enable us to implement the strategy of NDP 6.
Supporting mechanism.
Yeah. Because the NDP 6 strategy cannot be implemented when these things are in existence.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Because if the private sector, and I think there is a miscommunication from our technocrat.
Yeah.
When people are saying 500 jobs, it's not the government going to create it.
Yeah.
And I think many people, you know, political guys, they think it's government. And that is where now the mistake is.
You're making a very good point to say when a politician stand up, then they say, I'm going to solve youth unemployment. That should also be clarified to say, how are you going to solve it? Instead of saying, I'm going to make an environment conducive, I'm going to make sure that I relax some laws which are hindering you to operate, then at that point, you'll be able to create your own jobs. Yes. But if somebody stand up to say, no, my councillor is going to create 20,000 jobs here and there, then we end up not understanding to say government does not have capacity to create those kinds of jobs, but it has power to make laws and it also has power to, you know, to make sure that the environment for business is conducive.
Yeah.
Because the private sector which is doing the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why if you read the president's tone,
yeah,
it's better than even her ministers. Because it's not saying I'm going to do it. Yeah. My government is going to do it.
No, she has good economic intel, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. She's speaking differently.
Yeah.
That I want to enable people to do this and this.
Mm.
Unlike if you listen to many of our colleagues speaking.
Yeah.
They're saying I'm going to do it. We are going to do it. The government is going to do it. The government is going to do anything.
Yeah.
No. Government should just capitalize.
Yeah.
DBN and capitalize Agribank and enable access to capital.
Mm.
Fix the credit guarantee scheme and all those things that are not functioning very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they can do that, because these are some of the suggestions that are there, that are there that need to be fixed. And if we don't now enable capital to flow, if we do not look at harmonizing some of our regulatory body for them to talk to each other, especially within the ministry. And it's funny, especially the Minister of Health, the Minister of Agriculture, that's a regulate when it's related to health-related matter.
Mm.
We either we take the regulatory power from them because they are very, very dysfunctional. They are very, very dysfunctional. Not the whole ministry. It's just that department which is responsible for regulatory aspect within the agriculture sector, within the health-related matters.
Mm.
Something need to happen, because if it doesn't happen, we are going to have a problem. Because if I cannot be told, I mean, if I cannot get clarity that why can't I move my mango from Katima? Somebody will tell me, no, in 1999, we found a bug there. You can't tell me 1999.
Where are we?
Unless you tell me yesterday.
Yeah.
Because if we are still standing on the same regulatory thing that, you know, such type of nonsense.
Yeah.
But nobody, okay, what is wrong with the dingo? And they can't give you an explanation because of something that happened in the 1990s.
They also do not understand it.
You see?
Yeah.
So until we move to such a level and understand, why are we regulating?
Mm.
Because now, if all of us need to move in the way that the Bank of Namibia is moving, they are understanding, why am I regulating? Quran is also moving.
Yeah.
It's just that we need to stop being conservative. We need to understand, why are we regulating in this aspect?
Mm.
The Minister of Environment, that regulatory component, needed to be sitting somewhere alone.
I think it's a very good thing, especially when you speak from a broader perspective, say everybody must be able to understand where are we going as a country.
Yep.
Then when you understand that, what is your contribution to that plan? Then it's going to be easier for us. Maybe the question will also be to say, this is a disruption. It's a good disruption. Then the question to say, who is going to hinder the progress of Namibian going to be, you know, active in economic participation and also, you know, dealing with this thing, because somebody is benefiting from our ignorance.
Yeah.
Then you should ask that question to say, who is going to be offended by Namibian understanding that this is the direction where they would need to move? Because our ignorance, our inability to focus on things which matters, our also lack of interest in reading issues, somebody is benefiting and capitalizing from that.
Yeah.
Then we can come to that point. Then we see that if you are not able to read policy document, if you are not able to interact with our politician in private sector, then there is somebody who is taking out that opportunity. And who is that person?
Yep.
Yeah.
People who come straight going to State House.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Miklo does not, that approach does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
Look, the private sector spoken.
Yeah.
And it's good that they have spoken. And it's good to the president endorsed it at such a level. But now it need to be ingrained by in the minds of the technocrats.
Yeah.
So that for the implementation of NDP 6, we need the environment to be fixed.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unseren speziellen Abonnementplänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
So, the private sector have spoken, the private sector have delivered, and I think from my perspective, I'm saying this, that it's actually good that they have spoken and submitted something.
Yeah.
And why am I saying is that because we cannot achieve what is in the NDP 6 until we fix what the private tax said.
Yeah.
And I'm repeating this again. We will end up with a half implementation of NDP 6 if we do not implement what the private sector told us on those past 2 days.
It's not even half.
Yeah. We are not even going to get that closer.
Yeah.
Because 500,000, it need you to create around 1.3 jobs.
Yeah.
Almost every day.
Mm.
And we have not started.
Mm.
So, if we are going to do what we are going to do, one what we say in the NDP 6 about agro-processing, about increasing our electric supply, about adding value, about processing certain things, they are not going to be achieved until we fix what the private sector told us. Yeah. Because the private sector is the one who's supposed to create the job, but they cannot create until these hindrances are in place. So now we know the hindrance. We know the hindrance. So we, NIPDB and SCCI, we should thank them for organizing this.
Mm.
Now the private sector have gathered.
Mm.
And they have given us the picture that if you want us to do this and this, please go fix this.
I think we are reaching at the point where other civilized nations have been a long time ago, which is a very good thing, because when you look at other countries, the way they develop, they came to the point, these guys, you look at the UK and many other, these guys were fighting and all these things. Then they come to the point to say, no, Kanjoko, guys, please, let us stop this thing. Mm-hmm. Let us see, what can we do? Because we realize to say we cannot move in silo. What can we do to make sure that for the sake of the state, for the sake of the Namibian people and also generations to come? Because I think we are coming to that point, and it's not too late. I think there is still hope to look at the future.
I don't want us to keep hoping.
No. There's always, we spoke about positivity.
No positivity. Yeah. Let's just work.
Yeah.
And I'm repeating this again. Yeah, NIPDB, together with NCC, what they did was amazing.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, to get those people in the room, it was not easy, because many people have given up to speaking to politicians.
I hear you.
So now at least the secretariat of the public-private forum did well. And they got us different leaders. I just hope the informal is represented in the writing also. I'm going to take a look at it and to make sure it's in there.
Even the, I think the organizers also, they did well. And I have seen, through my observation, I have seen different leaders from public and private who were not even agreeing with each other, talking to each other.
Which is okay.
Which is okay to say they were brought together by that team.
I appreciated that also. Because we are not thankful enough, but I was skeptical that people are going to turn up. Mm-hmm. After the high level panel, after the investment summit, I attended the investment summit that the Hage one, they promised the billions. I attended that one. After all these things.
After the town hall meetings.
After the town hall meetings, and still nothing happened.
Yeah.
And all of them have one thing. But now we have an NDP 6.
Yeah.
Which is actually private sector oriented.
Yeah.
And the private sector is able to go deliver this for government if government can just meet this. Mm. We are not saying all the 20 things that the private sector suggested implement them. But there are those ones that are key. Because it's all about unlocking capital to flow to the necessary sector that need it.
Yeah.
That is what matters. And how do you unlock capital? How do you promote entrepreneurship? And those are the things that have been highlighted to say, we think you can do this and this and this. Think we do not need you to go set up another bank in, you know, Congo. No. Yeah. We are now able to deposit and withdraw without having a branch.
Yeah.
We are now saying that increase 5G network in Okongo. So that even the farmers that are in Omaoni there are able to sell their tomatoes online. That is what the private sector is asking. And if now we, the implementers and the technocrats in government and various sectors of government, I don't think Minister of Health was even there. And I think Minister of Health, they consider themselves to be social too much.
No. Mr. She was there. The doctor.
I don't want the doctor. I want the ED. I want the technocrats. I want the technocrats. The technocrats are the one who need the prayers, because they are the one who need to get the picture, because they are the one who make recommendations.
Yeah, they are actually very powerful.
Yes.
They are very powerful.
Minister, if a minister is wrong, it's because she or he was guided by the technocrats.
Yeah, they are very powerful, and people don't see that.
Yeah, guys, we need to start firing technocrats. They are, if the minister is wrong, it's the technocrat, unless that minister is hard-headed. Yeah. But, I'm repeating this again before I go to say, now our national blueprint of where we want to go is done.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's red.
Yeah.
There's even a strategy of implementing it.
Yeah.
But now what I'm going to also to suggest to national planning, that on top of your implementation strategy for NDP 6, I want you to put an addendum or whatever or annexes to say, this strategy hinges on public sector fixing these 10 things of the private sector.
Yeah.
The way we moved when we grey listed, we changed 13 laws in a space of 1 year.
Because we were cornered.
Because we were cornered by useless people.
I wanted to speak about that, to say, no, do you only want somebody to stand behind you to be effective?
Yeah. No, not even anybody. These are non-Namibian.
Yeah.
They are non-Namibian. We were cornered by people who have nothing to do with us. Now, I want national planning to take the suggestion of the PPF and attach it as an annex to the strategy of the implementation of NDP6.
Yeah.
And tell everyone in government and cabinet to say, if you want the implementation of NDP6, address these 10 or 15 things of the private sector within 6 or 7 months. Because if you are able to change 13 laws in a space of a year,
and you can implement NDPC.
You can also
in three years.
You can also implement the private sector suggestion to unlock capital and to promote entrepreneurship.
That is actually a very good thing.
Is all we have to do it, because these people from wherever, 40 for whatever, what the hell they are.
But it's so that we can do the work.
They made you change laws, 13 laws.
Yeah.
And if you can do that in a year, the private sector now have spoken. Madam President has agreed. Now national planning should take these things and make them to be implemented. Then NDP6 will be a success. So colleagues, thank you so much for allowing me to come and do my preaching today. The economic sermon is done. I think we can start the week now.
No. Thank you for setting the tone. It's always very good, especially morning time, Monday morning. And we are starting on a good standard. And we take it from here.
So, colleagues, let us have a very good week.
Yeah.
Let us do what needs to be done. At the center of everything is that it's a Namibian person. It's a Namibian child. And we are doing this for ourselves. We are not doing it for anybody. I don't want to do things where it's being recommended from EU or whoever. I don't care. But anything which is recommended by a Namibian, it means it's very important and it affects many people. Any recommendation, any complaint coming from Kunene, coming from Tintabis, is very relevant. We should take it very serious. The private sector has spoken. Government has agreed. We now just needed to make the technocrats do what needs to be done. And I think collectively we can go forward. And with that, Eagle FM will be here to speak the language that needs to be spoken, the conversation that needs to be had. And with that, colleagues, have a very good day.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doyi nawa nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Pada Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honoreta Time, Bali Heavy, Nola Natu, Heavy Bali, No Hair, Ileco, Berewa, Mora Hetatu, Natu, Bali, O Hetatu, Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. That was Ganjoga Nkwanyoka, and we're speaking on post public private sector forum. What are the suggestions? What is the way forward? And he mentioned a very important point to say, if you can be able to fix all the 11 financial deficiency within a few months because of an international institutions, why can't you fix your own problems within 1 year? It's quite a very interesting conversation.
However, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. The aim is to bring about, you know, real conversation on economic development, human development, and all the aspect which attached to our bread and butter. Because at the end of the day, is how do we reach, the point where we are living in the Namibia that we want, the Namibia where we are economically, you know, empowered, the Namibia where, you know, nobody should be scared of what you are going to eat the next day, where nobody should be concerned about quality medical care, and also no vendor will be scared about where to sell, and also how you should not be hiding from, you know, police officers within a certain town, because, you know, you find vendors who are doing very well, but actually, they are always on the lookout, especially not from churches, not from, you know, criminals, but they are on the lookout because of police officers. And one of the points which was mentioned is that when you look at vendors within cities and towns in Namibia, it's actually the authority chasing Namibian product away from the market. So let us look at the caller. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, David. Good morning.
Yes.
For me, good morning, how are you?
No, I'm well, and
let me now go formal.
Yeah.
Because the program is formal now.
Okay.
Even though the informal economic sector is more significant.
Yeah.
To our economic growth, and I think Mr. Njoka was telling you indirect.
Yeah.
That yes, the regulations, all the things, and we are seeing them in place, but I'm not so sure whether that area in relation to informal economic sector was well discussed, and perhaps some tangible kind of solutions that we can benefit, I mean, we can be found to elaborate and formalize that economic sector.
Okay.
So the other thing is the rating. I've heard rating being complained of by the South African government. There was also a problem.
Come again, which rating?
You know, the rating agency that they rate at.
Great news! Imba just got even better.
We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You'll learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yes.
Yes, Namandi.
Yes, sir.
So what I was trying to say is that there are rating agencies.
Yeah.
Like Moody's and many others.
Yeah.
And I was listening to a few weeks ago, I was listening to a presentation in this South African economic area, they're also discussing the economy and Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And they were complaining that these rating agencies, they are using a wrong formula.
Yeah.
And one being that they rely most of the time on the secondary data.
Yeah.
And so the secondary data need also to be corrected. It's important.
Yeah.
But this is what we have corrected already from the primary data, and they use now this kind of things. You know, sometimes which are not responsive to our own needs, our social need and economic needs.
So what is your view on rating agencies?
Yeah, my view has been always that certainly not rely much on the secondary data that we have corrected.
Yeah.
So because we went to the ground and we what the people want and things like that. Mm. Like we have this formula.
Yeah.
So many a times they just want to give you that picture so that they can have access to the funding that are also there.
Yeah.
And the most of those things, most of those requirements, those definitional elements are not formulated here, like I said. And they also give you a little bit kind of a picture, a wrong picture. So I know that Namibia Statistics Agency, and many others,
right
body here.
Yeah.
Even on your own desk, sometimes you can do those kind of research.
Yeah.
But the point that I'm trying to make here is that there are complaints about those ratings from the outside.
But if you have five rating agencies, different countries, even your own statistic agencies giving you numbers, are you telling me that there is nothing wrong with you, even if some may come with different intention? It's the same way we say, no, there are people who, you can say, no, I have enemies or people, they do not like you. But if 10 people start making the same comment, you must also be worried to say, maybe I have done something wrong. Maybe I'm also not right.
Of course, obviously, yeah. Because you have also our rating here, so that you can really see that, yes, this one is what we can rely on. These are the data that were corrected, and they are from the local, they have the local content.
Yeah.
So you know already in your community, those kind of research. And those statistics are there. They need to be, when you correct data, when you tell me you just present 65%, that figure, then what? So what? So I will ask you the same question. I say, what does that mean to me? So you need to now tell me that the statistics really present. You analyze the data, so that those data can be implementable.
Yeah, but if somebody is saying you have 70% unemployment, then you are fighting to say, no, I have 65, or no, I have just 60.
Have you done the research? And now you show it to me.
No. I'm just saying, when somebody say, no, you have 75% of unemployment, for example, then you can, no, I have only 65, or I only have 60. The fact of the matter is that you have a problem that you need to solve.
Of course.
Yeah.
Obviously, there must be a problem.
There is a problem. So
maybe that is your, what is your foundation to start?
Yeah, it does not mean that all the rating agencies can be absolutely correct, but the fact that if there is something, there is just something that we need to work on. And that is the fact.
You know, I've seen most of the data that come in when during elections and things like that, this one is giving a different data, this one is giving a different data, and those data are confusing. But we also need to have our own auditing kind of system. So if you get the data because of the, and then they are rating you, your governance, your good governance structure is rated against, say, Nigeria.
I want you to take time, ne? Then you, because there are some things that we are not doing right, and we know them, we are not doing them right.
Obviously,
look at the report of Auditors General. In Namibia, just take 3 years back until today. Look at what he has been recommending. Look at the ministries, the institution that the report that he gives to say no. There is, for example, 200, or there is, example, 20 million that was not accounted for here. There is 5 that was not accounted for. There is no balance in terms of the financial usage. There is no accountability here and there.
Bring them to account!
But the question is that have we ever really go and say, no, let us deal with this thing? But it continued to persist even from the previous administration. We have seen the report.
It's because people are not being accountable.
Yeah.
Don't bring them to task.
Sometimes it's not about to say, no, it's only the rating agencies and all this. Sometimes we know exactly we are not doing the right things.
A lot. Yeah, there are a lot of things that they are not doing.
And we expect things to change. How do we expect them to change if the auditor is always...
Say, for example, you know, the example never talks about the informal economy. So the proclamation, I think, I don't know whether it's 1957, the one that... look at this informal sector, the municipal bylaw.
Mm.
Is that not something that maybe you are talking about? Because the integration, you know, you are talking about. When you look at the state, the environment, is it conducive, political environment or social environment? If there are regulations like that, where you're saying that people are actually chasing away the Namibian products from the market, and you have been complaining about that. And when you look at the statistics from the informal economy and the formal terms of employment, or maybe the formal agricultural sector, so the statistics are there. Am I not able to tell you now? But the thing sometimes they don't come in within the rating edges. All they are looking at is the formal structure that are there. So, but you get those primary data very well and go to the informal economic agriculture sector, all this, the whole component.
Yes.
So they are not going to tell you the statistic, but we know the statistic in terms of we have those who are maybe in social security, those who are not getting the maybe, you know, those kind of informal sector.
Yes, thank you.
Even the benefit that the employee, those who are employing themselves are having there, they will not tell you the statistic. They just say lack of employment.
Yes.
All those statistics are not even disaggregated. Sex is disaggregated.
Yes, time.
Thank you very much.
All right, cool.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at economic issues and reflecting on public-private sector forum that happened 2 days last week. President said, for, you know, 2 days, and there were recommendations which were given after presentation from the private sector and also public sector to say, how do we make Namibia great? How do we improve the way we do businesses? And also, how do we expand the Namibian economy? What do we mean when we have a target of 500,000 jobs? And the president asked a question to say, how many did we create? There's no clear records. How many did we create? If you want to say you want to move from Windhoek to Okahandja within 30 minutes and you are driving a Golf R8, you need to ask yourself to say, in 10 kilometers, at what speed am I moving? Or you are just moving for the sake of moving? Are you moving fast? Are you moving slow? Or you are not moving? Because the issue at the center of that is progress tracking. That is monitoring and evaluation. At the center of that is the center of that summary is you know, the issue of over regulations, the issue of you know, separation of institution, which almost doing the same thing. That's why the president say there will be a one stop shop, which means that you know, if you want to register a business, you will just go to one building, then you are done with all your documents there, which is quite a very beautiful thing. And also to reduce the cost of doing business in Namibia. And there was the issue of energy. To say you can't move anywhere without energy. You cannot move anywhere without energy. And you must prioritize that. And also, it's creative industry and also sport to be professionalized and also prioritized. And, you know, let us look at the future. How is the future going to look like? And Jago said we must not have hope. We must just work. But yeah, it's always good to be positive, to say things may work well, but it's only when we are doing something about that. And if the president listen. But yeah, that is a conversation. So we are going to, you can engage us at 083-288-401. After a short commercial break, we are going to look at Tanzania. It seems like, Tanzania is facing, look at Tanzania. Say Mama Samia Suluhu. It's like she's going to run unopposed or with weak political opposition. Because when you look at the main opposition party leaders, some are jailed and some are also, banned from participating. And, it's also a question of concern to say, Tsere, and nobody expects this to say, under the administration of Mme Samia Suluhu, it's one of the few female presidents in Africa. What is really happening in the democracy of Tanzania? I think we are going to look at that news and also see through.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijamoili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore satimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Umthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, 30 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are here until we give the mic to Big Mike at 8 o'clock. And yeah, looking at Tanzania, there are a lot of things which are happening, especially in the politics of Africa. It's indicated that Tanzania is going to host the national elections, that is on Wednesday, and the leader of Tanzania. The leader of, Chama Pinduzi. It seems like Mme Samia Suluhu as one of the few female presidents in Africa. Seems like it's going to be like a coronation, which you know, means that there is less contestation, or less, or there is no powerful candidates that are going to contest in those elections, since opposition leaders, some are jailed, and also some of the opposition leaders are disqualified to contest. And it also arose a lot of questions to say, how is the democracy in Tanzania, especially when it's coming to party politics? Is this within the line? And also, how is the future of Tanzania going to be like? And seems like a departure from the policies and direction of the former president of Tanzania, this late John Pombe Magufuli. But be able to realize that President Samia Suluhu, who became a president after the death of John Pombe Magufuli in 2021, she is going to contest in upcoming national elections in that is on Wednesday. You'll be able also, it's also interesting to see especially what happened to other political parties, especially their leaders, either is their president and their vice presidents, what happened to them. And also Tanzania have also been, there's been an allegation of political abductions, political killings, and also many other issues, especially looking at development and the politics of Tanzania. It's indicated that with no heavy opposition candidates cleared to compete on Wednesday, it feel like vote less likely to contest. And it's going to be like a coronation. It's like you are, if an elephant is going to compete with a ground squirrel, it means that there is a it's not a possibility. There's high degree of success in that aspect. Stated that the 65-year-old who became an Eastern African nation first female head of state after the death of President Magufuli in 2021, and stated that Meme Samia Suluhu has been vice president, and it seems like she took a radical approach, especially completely different from John Pombe Magufuli. And in the upcoming elections, seem like other political party leaders have been banned from contesting, and also some are jailed now. Also very important also to look at what is how is Tanzanian politics, especially who are those leaders of you know, political parties, especially the main opposition parties, and what really happened there. It was stated that while the Electoral Commission of Tanzania has cleared 17 presidential candidates to stand, this time the main opposition party, that is Chadema, is its leader, who is currently on trial. That is Tundu Lissu. Has been on trial for quite some time. That is Tundu Lissu. It's a lawyer, the leader of you know, Chadema party. And remember, in the Tanzanian politics, at one point, this man also suffered, you know, assassination attempt. At one point was shot more than 15 bullets, but survived, and has been in prison for quite some time now. It's just a matter of questions to say, how is the politics of Tanzania? And all eyes are looking at the president of Tanzania, and also those who are involved in that politics. But it's also quite important also to look at his deputy. His deputy too, that is John Hense, was also arrested last week. And his detention after, you know, he stated that, you know, the so-called reform of President Samia were horrible. Now, it's indicated that, you know, Chadema is not going to contest due to that aspect. And while we are there, you know, important also to look at the other presidential hopeful, that is Ruhana Pina, from the second largest opposition party, was also, you know, disqualified And after those electoral reform, he also managed to get his candidacy reinstated by High Court. However, the Attorney General of Tanzania has also appealed last month, and the Electoral Commission decided to disqualify the ACT. Now it's a question of how many smaller political parties are left, and how is the politics of Tanzania going to be formed. That is it's Africa for you. It's Africa for you. And seems like when it's coming to the politics of SADC, it's becoming a bit different. It's becoming a bit different, but it's yet to see. It's yet to see how things are going to turn out. How things are going to turn out. Is it political oppression, or is it the law of the country? Because when you are looking at this, it's not also good to judge what is happening in other countries, but also to give information to say that is exactly what is happening, especially when it's coming to the politics of Tanzania. And it's not the first time in African politics, especially when you look at the politics of opposition party and also development moving forward. Yeah, you can call back. You can call back 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401. And it's also quite important to understand that today is Monday, and every Monday, the Villager newspaper is always out. It's always out. And make sure that when it comes to the Villager newspaper, you have an opportunity to read through and get access to the content of the information and the context of what is happening, especially when it comes to the information on economy and development. So we can take you through, especially when it's coming to the Villager newspaper, what is there. And what is happening on the front page of the Villager newspaper stated that only 37% of NAMPOWER generated, electricity generated locally in August. And it's quite a sad news that also need Namibians to wake up, especially when it's coming to electrical production, to say, why are we at this level? Where are we getting other 63% of our electricity? And there's also another article which is saying Oburu battery storage receive its power conversion system. Get an opportunity and read the Villager newspaper, especially on issues related to energy. And Welwitschia University is offering courses on law, especially the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education. The application is ongoing until the 30th of November 2025. Yeah, you'll be able, the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, you'll be able to do their courses, especially here at the page 3, where you have certificate in project management. You have a certificate in supply chain management. You have diploma project management, diploma supply chain management, bachelor's of science, honors degree in computing and information system. It's also a bachelor of science in project management, honors, bachelor's of supply chain, honors, postgraduate diploma in inclusive education. Take time and visit the page of the Villager newspaper and make an opportunity also to visit Welwitschia University, so that you can be able to get time to go to school and at least capacitate yourself. People are going to school, people are reading, people are capacitating themselves, because you cannot develop the country if you do not have skills, and that is what is needed. So there is another article on Okachari allocates 800 Okachari allocate 8 hectares of land for horticulture youth project. There are some development on food security. Go track progress in agriculture sector, especially when you look at this local development. and read that article by Eloise Shimi. And there's critical raw materials and minerals found in household waste. This is also an article by Dwight Links. Get time and read the Villager newspaper. Moving forward, there is South Africa Exit FATF, that is Financial Action Task Force, grey list, where Namibia remains. Now, this was part of the conversation that we were discussing to say when it's coming to international rating, when it's coming to Namibia, Namibia is still grey listed, although it has addressed 11 of its deficiencies in its financial system, because the country is not able to prosecute and finish prosecution of cases related to money laundering, illicit financial flow, and also terrorism financing.
Hello?
Yes, morning, David.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Good. I wanted to touch on where you and Kanjengo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. To say, do you guys want the National Planning Commission to do what? To reversing what?
Come again?
Or to review? What is really you guys wanting on the National Planning Commission?
Yeah.
Regarding NDP.
Yeah, the argument was National Planning Commission to come up with some measures or some principles to indicate to say these are things that we need to address, especially from the private sectors, for us to reach the NDP 6 goals.
But the problem, there is no training, or what must I say now? There are no training policies that can guide people or to make them understanding that the policy and the regulation in a trade system, this is what it will need to be implemented. Yeah, those are the problems that we have, because if you look at on ongoing monitoring and enforcing policy, we don't have them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't just telling people that go and register your company with BIPA. So while you don't having a market, you identifying your market that you are going to be informal or formal market. That is what is killing Africa in economy, because there are no ongoing that can say you are violating this trading policy in our country, for example.
Just hold on 1 second. Hold on.
Democracy is not a spectator sport. It is a participatory event. The essence of democracy is in your participation. Therefore, make sure that you participate by electing your representatives in the regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Democracy starts with you. Preserve it by getting involved. Go vote. Your vote is your voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, where were we?
That implementation or any step that can guide the police, or that can telling people that when you are register your company,
yeah,
on which economic or which marketing are you going to involve? Whether it's in, because if you look at what our people do in Namibia, they are violating the trading policy.
What do you mean violating the trading policy? How?
Because you are setting your product in any way you want. So government cannot even register you as a taxpayer. And we have lot of flocking market. Everybody's, I don't know whether it's the way of doing business or way of surviving. I don't know who encouraging people that you need to set up your own business. in any way you want. They are violating the city or the town or village council as a
regulation.
Police, yeah.
Yeah, that was the center of the conversation to say when you are speaking about somebody violating city regulation. Now, how can we harmonize that? How can we allow people to coexist? Because when you are, for example, when you are chasing people out at the CBD, yes, it's in line with you want a city to be plain somewhere, you want informal market to be somewhere, but is that going to improve the situation? Because the discussion was here to say some regulations, some laws are inhibiting our people to do business. Why do you have ShopRite and you do not, why do you have certain businesses and you also do not have, you cannot allow other people to operate as long as, they are not violating your laws? How should we work together with those people?
First of all, disciplinary action, which is, as I said, disciplinary action is coming with a training.
Yeah.
To understanding the regulation or the policy. So those are the problems that the other companies or the other investors that are coming in the country, they're leading those policies before they make a decision that this during their marketing research.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they set up, they come to municipality or to village council that we are looking for a land that or a place where we can rent to making our business. And they're putting up money into putting up infrastructure, make it easier for everybody to come in. But if you look at what our economy is going down because of this, even our currency is going down, I think is now to 60 or 70 comparing to South African rand. No. So if you look at that now, that is because of the 70 to 80% of the those traders, how do you call it, street vendors or whatever wise.
So what is your view on incorporating street vendors in a development of a certain town? How do we deal with them?
Yeah, we have the village council needing to set up a market, an open market where they can do those business. But unfortunately, they don't want it to be a part of that. And which is now I'm saying.
But are those, have you seen, I've seen an open market at Akahana, and I'm asking myself, you know, is this well positioned? Some people are even at hiding, and you're asking yourself, how do this person get access to clients if they do not even know where I am?
Hiding, what do you mean?
No, the structure of the market is not...
No, that is what you have. As I give you an example of the FDI, the market itself. You are the one who can making attracting people to come in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in any way that it can be beautiful for you to do business.
Yeah.
You have to make it yourself. It's the same with that you are talking about soccer story here.
Mm.
No matter the ministry funding that or developing those soccer fields,
yeah,
if the player are not attracting people to maintaining, to pay and maintaining that soccer field, government will be just end up bailing out for the sake of the what? To impressing young people, but they are not doing anything for themselves to attract the to making money.
Okay, now
for maintaining that. Yeah.
What is your suggestion moving forward, especially
they need to come up with a plan of disciplinary action, which they are engaging with those street vendors that. Listen to me. A person has been putting up his own infrastructure to making that place beautiful.
Yeah.
And we are allocated this land for you guys to operate in.
Yeah.
Attracting people by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. For them to come here. It doesn't violating regulation is not a solution here. Because if you are penanting you every day.
Yeah.
How are you making profit out of it? Those are the things that the government have nothing to do with. Whatever it says, it can make it easier for a Namibian. It will not work because of this. Because you are telling people to go register the companies. At the end of the day, they don't have market. They are just violating. You are not taking up anything to monitoring this policy and enforcing policies. So those are the problems that the economy will not go up because of this.
So, and the market matters.
Yeah, the market matters because an open market is just open market. As you're going to Omatara, you're just going to Omatara because what you want is in Omatara. But if you are coming to say, I'm buying my local fruit and veg, and they come selling closer to ShopRite.
In front of.
I do not think that you are violating somebody's trading policy here.
No, I hear you.
Those are the problems. You cannot just blame for the sake of politics or for the sake of this. No. Things need to be, because if the government is making money, and all this money are monitored, as I said, our dollar is not high, as people are thinking.
Yeah.
The dollar is down. If you go to Angola, for example, maybe there you can. But if you go to Kasumbalesa in DRC, where the Randa is playing a big role. So those truck drivers, they give you $70 out of 100 Namibian rand. I mean, Namibian dollar. It's because of what? They don't have any Congolese standing of saying our dollar is quality. Even if you go to Joburg, you're not getting $100. So those are the problems. It's only the bank that we know we are trading with them.
One-on-one.
Yeah, but on the truck. Truck driver will not giving you that 100 to 100. No, you are lying yourself. Okay. Because the money have nothing. Those people who are doing business here, those traders which you, I can call them even illegal traders, because we have a policy that say, protect those traders or foreign investors. But here we have these people, they are also coming as foreigners, they are also coming to do business the same way, but they are not regulated. They put money under the mattress, they're changing on the open market. How do they adding value to the US dollar? Namibian dollar. How do we know the GDP of this country? We will not get it.
No, even the real calculation of how much money you have in circulation is just prediction. You don't really.
If you go to the Tekawaka Benu asking how much money have you printed now, he was telling you that millions of dollars because it's penniless.
I think was it the last year where it was 5.5 billion? That is cash now. Then you also have 2.7
billion. Yeah, they had cash.
Okay. Thank you. Time.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for input.
Yes. Thank you very much. I think that is Andreas Mtira. Give him his input, especially when you look at somebody really started his own business, whether it's domestic or it's a foreign, then you find that yes. And come and sell in front of your business. It looks like a fair game, but it's not fair to you because that person attracted his customers. You are selling the same product from that is in that shop and you are in front of that. It's quite really not a very good thing, but how do we make sure that the market is open? How do we make sure that the vendors have also an opportunity to have, access to the market? Not only being confined in one place, but at a place where they can also compete with each other, because the economy is not doing very well. And when we speak about Namibia economic development, we speak about solution to Namibian problems, like Kanjengo stated, is about an ordinary person on the ground to say, what about an ordinary person on the ground? How are these ordinary people on the ground going to benefit from this, from this discussion? Because we have a lot of, like what was happening on, in the past days, last week, especially in terms of public-private sector forum, you'll be able to realize that most of the people who are making decisions were there. The key players in terms of decision-making were there. But the main affected person is an ordinary person on the ground, because that is a person who need quality medical care. That is a person who need employment. That is a person who need quality product. It's the same person who need electricity. That is not only electricity in terms of the strategy of 70% household electrification, but electricity in terms of affordability. That is a person who need, access to finance and also quality financial literacy, because I don't need access to finance so that I can be in debt. I need access to finance so that I can have control of my own finance. That is now the aspect of what an ordinary person on the ground going to benefit from this, and what is need to be done moving forward. Talks have been done. Discussion were done. Very good policies, good environment. President was very happy, smiling. The public sector, they shake hands with the private sector. Business people gave their complaint. And, recommendations were done. The Director General of National Planning Commission stated that all these recommendations which were made here, they are going to be evaluated, and they are also going to be sent to Cabinet for endorsement and also for policy alignment, to make sure that when you speak about over-regulations of in terms of making business, those things are being dealt with. When you speak about, the mining sector, as well as the foreign direct investment policies, those things are being dealt with. Now, what is the way forward? And the question is that, do the technocrats, do the administrators understand where the country is going? Or how are we going to reach where we say we were going? And also, how can we solve the problems that are facing us? But yeah, it's 59 minutes. Past the hour of seven, and we are coming to the end of our conversation, and I will give the mic to Mac to unpack the day, and from me, David Sombe, bye bye for now, and the Big Mac, good morning, and take over from here.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always...